Oh, books about China, sir.
China? And why China?
Oh, sir, because I'm going to China as a missionary as soon as I can.
Is that so? Indeed, I've been to China, you know. Mostly India and Tibet, of course. Met the Viceroy and the Dalai Lama. But China, too. It's a very long way from England, Gladys.
Gladys's face was alive with interest, her guilt about the books forgotten.
Yes, sir, but as soon as I save enough money, I'm going.
All by yourself?
Not exactly, sir. God will be with me.
Yes, yes, of course.
Sir Francis lifted his pipe from the mantel of the fireplace and took his time lighting it. A bit playfully, he asked,
I hope you don't get seasick, Gladys. It's a long time on the sea.
I can't afford a sea voyage, sir. I'm going overland by train on the Trans-Siberian Railroad. It's the cheapest way, so I can get there sooner. Every week I take as much of my wage as I can spare to the company as a down payment on my ticket.
For the first time, Sir Francis looked as if he began to believe that Gladys was actually serious.
Gladys, you can't just go off to China like that, you know. There's fighting on the border. The Japanese are invading China. The Chinese communists are marching against the Chinese government. It's very dangerous, my dear, and you might not get back.
Gladys smoothed her apron and glanced down for a moment. When she raised her eyes, he could see determination.
Oh, but sir, I'm not coming back.
The chiming of the mantel clock startled Sir Francis almost as much as her words. He had become so absorbed in questioning his remarkable parlor maid that he had forgotten the time.
Gladys, I have an appointment.
Gladys curtsied again and turned to leave.
Gladys, he cleared his throat. Gladys, you are very welcome to borrow any book you like from my library, as long as you are careful and put it back where it was.
Thank you very much, sir.
We will talk again about this matter. I can see that you are quite serious about your plans, and that's commendable. But I think you do not know Chinese.
Gladys nodded. She did not know one word of Chinese.
And are you not trained theologically?
No, sir. I applied as a missionary trainee at the China Inland Mission, and they said I was too old for studying and not clever enough to learn Chinese.
Sir Young Husband tapped the tobacco out of his pipe and shrugged on a nearby jacket.
Yes, well, Gladys, don't you think perhaps you ought to consider the advice of those older and wiser than you?
Not for a minute, sir. I know what they say is true, but God says to go. So I ought to go, oughtn't I?
Sir Francis paused at the door and took a long and thoughtful look at Gladys.
I'm an officer in the British Army, Gladys. I know how to give orders and how to obey orders. If you know that God has told you to go to China, then you'd better go, hadn't you?
Yes, sir.
Gladys smiled as she retreated out of the room and closed the door behind her.
Chapter 2. Gladys has a daring escape. As much as Gladys had always enjoyed dramatic scenes, saying goodbye forever to her mom and her sister Vi at London's Liverpool Street train station had been almost too exciting. They thought they would see her again, but Gladys knew better. Once she got to China, that was it. She would make her life in China. She had given her mom an extra long hug and promised again she would write home as often as she could. What a thrill she felt when the train gave off a huge chug, a powerful release of steam, and a whistle blast to signal its departure. Now, huddled in a window seat with her two suitcases, Gladys tipped her foot on the pot and kettle she had tied to the handle of one suitcase to keep them from rattling together as the train jostled along. The kettle suitcase was crammed with food for her journey, tea and Rivita, hard-boiled eggs and fruitcake. The other, her few clothes, a blanket, and an old fur coat someone had given her. Hadn't God already proved to her that she was obeying his call? Imagine hearing about an old Scottish lady missionary in the remote northeastern part of China who needed an assistant.